Welcome to the Ted Brower Show with Austin Brower. Thank you so much for listening today. It's so good to be back with you again. Thank you for inviting me into your homes. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com, who's bringing you the show today. I wanted to read you a little bit out of the Bible today, because I don't normally do that because we've got so much news to cover. And I started thinking about it today, that we've got to bring people more hope and more understanding of what's going on. And if we can read the Word of God to you a little bit and give you a hope scripture every single day, it'll make a big difference in your life through that day. I know today I had a friend call me up, and he's having some severe financial problems, and his daughter's wrecked the car, and now two people are suing him for millions of dollars, and so now it looks like he's going to have to file bankruptcy. And so people need to realize that, you know, bad things happen to good people sometimes, and it's not because we want them to happen to us. A lot of time it's because we've made decisions that have allowed those things to happen to us. And so I'm not saying that my friend did that, but the reality is that she'd already wrecked two cars before this, and he allowed her to drive another one of his cars, and she wrecked it and ended up hurting two people. So it's sad when things like that happen, but we need to realize that, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and today is the day the Lord hath made, and I will be rejoicing, and I will be glad in it. Now let me read you out of the book of Ecclesiastes today. And this is something that I talked to my daughter about today, because she's 13 years old. And she's kind of like, everything's kind of a game still, and she's 13. And so she doesn't really have a lot of discipline in her life yet as far as doing what she needs to do on a timely basis, even though she's passed her college entrance exams at 12 because she's extremely bright from an academic standpoint. She's still just young. So I read her this today, and I want to share this with you guys today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to unroot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. I've emphasized that to my 13-year-old today. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And you know, what we have to understand is that God is still on the throne. Prayer still changes things. I had a good friend come by the house last night with his family, and they spent the night. And the thing that was interesting about this is when I talked to him, he's so despondent about what's happening globally with the globalists. And I told him, I said, why are you doing that? Why are you upset and why are you sad? I said, the truth of the matter is you don't have to be that way. I said, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. This is the hope we have to lay our foundation and our future on. As Christians, if you're a Christian and you're listening to the show, you understand what I'm saying. If you're not, you can call our office, and we'll show you how to become a Christian. You can call 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, and we'll pray the sinner's prayer with you. We'll teach you about what Christianity really is. Christianity is not about, you know, being perfect. It's not about being right all the time. But, you know, it's a time to realize that, you know, being a Christian means that you're just saved, but it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that God has placed your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. As long as we're just and we're careful to, you know, confess our sins before the Lord, He'll forgive us, because Jesus stands as a constant mediator for us, you know, on the throne, to allow us to come to God, to the throne of grace. We no longer have to have a holy of holies by priests that are going in there to sacrifice calves and lambs for us. Jesus did that once and for all. I covered that in detail on my Hagman appearance back in November when I talked about the blood of Jesus and how it saves us and how important the blood is. So if you haven't heard that show, you need to hear it. It'll be a real blessing to you and to your family. But let's just realize, you know, there's a time to do things and there's times not. There's a time to tell the immigrants not to come to Germany, which they're doing now, but it's too late. There's 8 million in the pipeline. There was a time to say that in the beginning, just never to introduce that over to them with Angela Merkel, I think, is demon-possessed. And we have to understand something. If we all work together as a team, as patriots, as people who want to restore the Constitution, we do not need a constitutional convention. We do not need a bunch of people in Congress that are a bunch of pedophiles and perverts putting together a new constitution for us. That is a huge, huge, huge mistake. And many of these candidates that are running now, that's what they want. And sadly, if they do get a constitutional convention, it'll be the end. The reason they want a constitutional convention is because the Constitution as it currently sits has made it extremely difficult for them to enslave us. And so they don't want to leave it the way it is. Now, if Obama gets this latest ability to declare war at any time and be under a constant War Powers Act to bring troops in or whatever, he can bring them on our own shore. Or even Obama doesn't have to do that. The next president can. And sadly, the next president doesn't need that kind of power either. The presidents don't need the Patriot Act. They don't need the National Defense Authorization Act. They don't need this act. They don't need any of this stuff. You know, we need to live by the Constitution. And the other thing that I need to realize, and everybody else needs to realize, is that we've allowed these communists, these fascists, these dictators, these pedophiles, these perverts, these drug addicts to sit in Washington and tell us what's good and what's wrong. I mean, it's ridiculous that we've allowed them the authority to rule over us because they're our servants. They work for us, but they think it's the other way around. They think that we serve them and that we're to submit to them. They've got it backwards. That's not how the Constitution was set up. That's not how the Constitution was framed. And we have to realize that we need to stick together in the aggregate. You know, there's a time to complain and there's a time to rejoice. The reality is, there's never a time to cause division among the brethren. There's never a time. That's one of the things that God hates, that he hates that. I mean, we've got to stay unified together in the Spirit through Christ Jesus. We don't have to be tying ourselves together with the Catholic Church and all that nonsense and making Chrislam and all that kind of nonsense. We don't need to be doing all that stuff. God gave us a plan a long time ago through Christ Jesus. The Roman Catholic Church really adulterated that in the fourth century in about 323, 325. And we need to restore our first century church that we had that was so effective at colonizing and converting the entire known world at that time. So let's all pray together that we can stand firm in the faith, stand firm in the aggregate, and understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And again, I'm going to repeat this one more time. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. It doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if your kid wrecks your car. None of that stuff matters. What matters is that we stay true to the Word of God, we stay true to our faith, and we realize we're only here for a little while. I talked to my friend whose daughter had wrecked the car, who's getting sued, for quite a while today. And he and I were in college together like 40 years ago at Florida State University, almost 40 years ago. And the thing that was so crazy about this is, I guess it actually was 40 years ago, because it's 76, yeah, 40 years ago. And the craziest thing about it is, it seems like it was yesterday to both of us. And 40 years has gone by that quickly. And any of you who are in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, you'll say the same thing. You know, you've got to look forward to the rest of your life, and you have to be busy doing your Father's work. And that's the key for all of us. We all have to stay focused. We need to build one another up in your most holy faith. And you need to realize there's some things that you need to know. Number one is that haters are going to always hate, and that people that are out there saying bad things are going to always say bad things. Liars are going to always lie, and there's nothing you can do about that. And I remember my good friend Jim Rohn told me one time, he goes, if you talk about all that stuff, he goes, all that is idle conversation. Because he said, the truth is, it's just something that people don't understand, that these people have always been with us. Here are a few more little quotes from Jim Rohn. If you go to YouTube, you can watch his video. It's free, doesn't cost anything. It's called Your Best Year Ever. And I have a friend of mine, his name's Jeriah Miller. He actually did a little outline for me on this because he's learning some of the stuff that Rohn taught me. And here's some of his notes that he wrote down. He said, the time is more valuable than money. And that's true, because we only have so much time. Sincerity is not a test of truth. How about that one? How many people you say, well, he's very sincere? That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he's telling the truth. Ideas plus inspiration can be life-changing. Be thankful for what you already have. Don't be a cynic. Don't be a follower. Be a student. Read, read, read. Make sure what you do is a product of your own conclusion, and you're not telling, somebody else isn't telling you what to do. Always remember this. Failure is only a few small errors in judgment repeated over a long time, over and over and over again. Success is only a few simple disciplines practiced every day for a long, long time. Motivation, remember, is not everything. because you can be motivated and be a motivated idiot. I've seen a lot of people attack other people. They were motivated to attack them for absolutely no reason. You don't have to be motivated to do things wrong. And also remember, you have to remember this. Study what you want to become. Don't allow your activities and your future to determine what you're going to become by accident. Judas Iscariot had a goal to reach 30 pieces of silver. What did he become getting his goal? He became a traitor. So I'm going to leave you with this and we'll start on the news. Beware of what you become in pursuit of what you want. I'll repeat that. Beware of what you become in pursuit of what you want. Austin, what's your first story for the day, buddy? Austin, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now. You must have been on mute.
I had it on mute there.
That's okay. What's your first?
Excellent intro, bud. One thing I want to add to that, and I tell this to a lot of people, is enjoy what you're doing now. Enjoy the moments now. And I don't mean that from a heathenistic, it's all about you, let's party. I mean, enjoy the moments you have with family. Enjoy the time you have. Like Dad just said, money is not as valuable as time is. You can only have so much time. And I feel a lot of times now with the internet and with Facebook and with all these social media outlets, everybody's so enthralled with being on their computer or their phone or their tablet on a regular basis, they miss so many opportunities to really truly enjoy being around friends and having activities with family and just enjoying being each other's company, because they're so concerned about what somebody else is posting online or Facebook or Instagram or any of this ridiculous stuff. And I can say this on record, as I've said this many of times, I do not have an Instagram. I do not have a Facebook. I do not have any of that. I have a Health Masters Facebook simply for the customers that you guys want to send stuff that I don't even check. One of our staff checks that, and we usually respond to people. But just enjoy the time you have. It goes by really, really fast. I'm only 27 now, and it seems like it was yesterday that I was in college. And it flies by, guys. And so I promise you, when you're about to die, you're getting ready to check out and be with the Lord, nobody's going to say, man, I wish I would have been on my iPhone more. I really wish I would have checked my Facebook more in my life. Nobody's going to say that. I promise you that. So just enjoy what you have now and enjoy being with one another. The first story that I wanted to cover is quite sad, because we knew it was going to have a rough ending to it. So far, this is only a part of it. You guys have been informed. I've been keeping everybody updated on what was going on with Amon Bundy up in Oregon. Well, they were pulled over on Tuesday by apparently a bunch of FBI agents. And the official report, they said that everybody surrendered except Lavoy Finicum and Ryan Bundy, who is Amon Bundy's brother. Apparently shots were fired from the FBI in a basically an offensive manner immediately, and they shot and killed Lavoy Finicum, and they also wounded Ryan Bundy. And what is coming out now from multiple family members is that the vehicle was shot at least 120 times, along with tear gas also being shot into the vehicle. They apparently surrendered immediately after they wrecked the vehicle. And the original guy, Lavoy Finicum, got out of the vehicle with his hands in his air, and they basically executed him on the spot and shot him an additional three more times on the ground. This is what the eyewitnesses that were there that got shot, this is what they're saying now on their phone calls from jail. And basically they said it was a full-blown ambush with FBI snipers in the trees surrounding the vehicles. They had already planned on doing this, as we said. Now, apparently the individuals that are still at the refuge have not surrendered. We don't know what they're going to do now, but now we obviously see that this is the way the FBI is going to conduct themselves. As it stands right now, no firearms were drawn whatsoever from any of the protesters, including Amon Bundy in the vehicle. No firearms were even pointed at any of the officers. I'm sure they'll try and change the story to fit their narrative on what they want to tell you with CNN, but this is coming directly from the family. So be with those families right now, because it's about to get very interesting for them. And just pray that they have strength and wisdom in this time.
Well, the problem with all of this, number one, they were probably all carrying iPhones or cell phones, and they were probably being tracked. And so when they left they left the compound, they knew they were leaving the compound, and so they knew that they were, you know, being tracked on the GPS. Secondly, this is the way they did John. I think it was John Dillinger. I think Johnny Depp played him on this movie. They basically just ambushed him and started shooting up the vehicles that were going down the road. So they're looking at these guys like, you know, enemy number one. And the sad part about this is that the Patriots need to understand that they have to choose their battles wisely. And at this point in time, we still don't have to do this. At this point in time, we need to get off our butts, and we need to get to the voting polls in November, and we need to get a person in there that's going to hopefully get some of this junk fixed. And we need to get all of these guys that are pedophiles out of the office, all these guys that are cokeheads out of the office, all of these guys that have been caught with whores and out of the office. I mean, you got to see what they do is they blackmail these people. That's what J. Edgar Hoover said. He goes, I don't need to blackmail everybody in Congress or to have dirt on everybody in Congress. Just 51%. I can do anything I want. You can stop a filibuster, but you can't, you know, think you can stop a filibuster. You can do anything. You can do anything with 51%. Because, you know, you can't stop a filibuster, but usually filibusters, they kind of just peter out anyhow. But the point is, it's just what goes on. And so we have to understand that we have one of the most corrupt organizations in Washington of criminals that have taken over our government. There's an element there that's so corrupt that they're basically just drug dealers and pedophiles and just perverts. And that's who's running the country. And it's really, really sad because, you know, we have to realize that now this man who was shot, he ran a foster program, had 50 kids out on his ranch up there. He was taking care of them. They took all the kids away. All these kids love him. Plus, there's no telling me how many other kids that he'd had before these 50. Maybe in the hundreds or thousands. I don't know that. And now they've got a whole bunch of people that are really, really mad, that are really ready to go do stuff to the federal government. And it's sad. And there's no reason to shoot all these guys and do all of this stuff. They could have shot their tires out. The car would have stopped, and they could have let them get out, and they could have arrested them. But that wasn't the point. Now, I don't know if the story that Austin gave you about people getting shot is true. I don't know if it's true that he got out of the car with his hands up. I don't know if that's true. None of us were there. And this is what they do to us all the time. It's always obfuscation. Because it doesn't really matter what happened. They're going to spin the narrative the way they want to spin it. Because they're going to control the press. And they're going to control the reports. The police in this country are some of the finest police in the world. There's also an element of them that are some of the most corrupt people on the planet. And they'll do whatever they have to do. And police officers stick together. And that's why so many of them will actually bogus up reports and lie directly under oath. Lie. Just straight lie. I've had them do it to me before. Lie under oath. You know, when you know you weren't speeding, you get a ticket and you take it to court and they lie under oath and you say, but you're lying. And it doesn't matter because they're an officer of the court. The judge believes them over you. And even if you bring up another witness, they don't believe you. So it's just sad to me that we allow these guys to do this and get away with it. And if indeed they did execute this guy, of course, if he had been black right now, you'd have had a massive, massive march up there. And I'll give the blacks credit. I'll give them credit for this. You know, they would have showed up in aggregate to do this. And now we've got all the rest of these guys that are still, you know, holed up, I guess you could say, up in that government building up there. And now what's going to happen if they shut the water and the food and the electricity off to them? I mean, it's just a big mess. The whole thing's a big mess. This thing reeks of Waco. It reeks of all of this stuff with David Koresh, all of it. David Koresh used to go to town all the time. They could have arrested him while he was in town. They didn't do it. They decided to storm his compound. And sadly, that's probably what's going to happen to the rest of the guys in this compound. And I personally think they need to give themselves up and get out of there because this was a battle they didn't have to fight, a battle they didn't have to win. Because the truth is, all they're doing is taking tag numbers and information on this stuff, and we don't need to get violent, not yet. And I'm believing God it's never going to happen, that we're never going to have to get violent, and I don't think we should do anything like that unless we have a full-blown military takeover of the United States and we lose our Constitution and they start executing people in the streets. Then we've got to do something. We can't allow that nonsense to happen like in Nazi Germany. But the sad part about it is, the vast majority of the population, they have no idea any of this is going on. They didn't even know there was a standoff up there because the media has been very, very quiet about all of this, Austin, if you've noticed that. Now, yep. Let's go ahead. Let's do a few more. This is another couple of things I want to talk about. FBI, violent crime rose in the first months of 2015 over 2014. I can tell you why I believe that happened, because of the mass migration of South and Central America and Mexico into the United States, bringing these gangs in. That's why the FBI is saying that violent crimes have rose considerably. Also, silver and gold seem to be hitting some major support right now. They seem to be going up, or I don't know what they're doing, or they're going to allow them to go up a little bit higher. So, you know, there's some things you need to do is realize that you've got to get your money in some solid assets. Here's another article by Tiffany. It says, even oil can't save Saudi Arabia. It says, right now the structure is a stubby concrete skeleton rising from the desolate sands outside of this Red Sea port. The city is saying the Saudis created an investment fund with $2.2 billion to build towers, plus another $20 billion to develop larger projects. But Saudis are completely broke now because of the oil prices. And I think this is what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. I think they're completely collapsing the House of Saud. I think the Rothschilds, or whoever the globalists are that are in charge of this, I can't say it's the Rothschilds on this one, but it probably has something to do with them because they're involved with everything, are doing this. So it's going to be a sad, sad day, you know, when, you know, the entire population of the planet is in complete destitute, you know, poverty because these globalists have decided to do this to us. So we have to stand in the aggregate, and we have to believe God that this is not going to happen, and we're going to stand. And we're going to stand firm as patriots and say, no, we're not going to allow any of this to happen. Okay, here's another one. Trump is saying now that he most likely won't do the Fox debate. In fact, some people say he won't do it. And he's saying that they cannot toy with me like they toy with everybody else. This is out of Breitbart. Tuesday at a press conference before a campaign event in Marshalltown, Iowa, Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump indicated that he most likely won't be a participant in Thursday's Republican presidential debate to be hosted by the Fox News channel. I hope he doesn't show up between me and you guys. I told Fox, you should give money to the wounded warriors, Trump said. I'm not a fan of Megyn Kelly. I think she's a third-rate reporter. I think she's frankly not good at what she does. I think they could do a lot better than Megyn Kelly. I'm going to make a decision with Fox, but I probably won't bother doing the debate. They picked me as a number one, not only number one by far, but probably I won't be doing the debate. I'm going to have something else in Iowa, do something where we can raise money for the veterans and wounded warriors. Always remember this with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly went on Howard Stern's, and she talked about her husband's reproductive organ size. That's about the best way of saying this. And she also talked about her boobs, her breast size, with Howard Stern's. Now, you know, any girl who's going to go on Howard Stern can be expected to be asked those questions. But you have to ask yourself another question. What type of girl wants to do that anyhow and put themselves through that and lower their standards like this? I think Trump is 100% right about Megyn Kelly. The unfair cheap shots that she took at him about his hatred of women and all that nonsense as the first question when she was the debate chairperson that first time with Fox was complete and total nonsense. It blew up in her face. It backfired on her. And Fox, the only reason they put Megyn Kelly back on that stand, and I'm telling you why they did it because they wanted higher ratings, because they wanted to see what the Donald would do. They're baiting him. They're trying to set him up, and they're trying to bait him to come in to get higher numbers, higher ratings, to generate more revenue for Fox. And Trump knows enough about marketing and market share and revenue streams. He basically said, pound salt, I'm not showing up. You're not going to basically hoodwink me like that and set me up for a fall or try to with Megyn Kelly again. So I can guarantee you she's got a whole bunch of questions she's going to hit him with again this time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's going on, Austin. So I applaud Donald Trump for not doing the debate. He just needs to buy an hour worth of prime time somewhere and just do his own whole show with Wounded Warriors. Well done, Donald Trump. Well done. I applaud you. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, you're spot on with that. I read that article earlier, and I guarantee you they got a whole laundry list of questions they're going to dump on him that absolutely have no relevancy in his president campaign at all. I know that last time she asked him some of the stupidest questions. I mean, they weren't even remotely relevant to anything. They were like pulling random questions out of a hat. They were so absurd, and they made it to be like it was this big deal the way he answered them. And I was like, she's a blithering idiot. If she really thought that was a legitimate question to ask somebody in a debate, give me a break. She's a full-blown globalist puppet. That's all she is. I can't stand her. That's exactly what they want to do. So I'm very, very glad that he is not going to do it. He doesn't need to do it. like you said, his poll number's already so high. And I remember a couple months ago, he went on record saying that he wasn't going to do another Fox debate with them unless they donated $5 million to the Wounded Warrior Project, which I think as of now they still have not done. So he has absolutely no incentive to do that. As you said, all they're doing is using him as leverage to increase their ratings because they know as soon as he goes on the debate, their numbers are going to blow up through the roof again.
Well, because more and more people are going to be there because they want to see another altercation between him and Megyn Kelly.
Exactly.
He's not going to play this soap opera crap game is what it is. He's not going to do it. All right, let me. What's your next story, Oz?
Next one. This is a health one that I did want to touch on because I was reading about it earlier. The CT scans, also known as CAT scans, just about everybody has heard of those. They're pretty common now. Most people get them done for little incidental things. They're definitely something that can be beneficial when you're really trying to find out something's going on without having surgery. However, now they're showing more and more studies that they massively expose the human body to dangerous ionizing radiation. Now they're saying and they're increasing the lifetime risk for developing cancer by as much as 35%. Over the course of the past two decades, use of CAT scans has exploded. The combined radiation dose from all medical imaging performed has increased sixfold. Now, what's interesting is, unlike a single X-ray, CAT scans are equivalent to a series of multiple individual X-rays, and the exposure, in fact, is compared to about 10 times our natural exposure to normal radiation. Naturally, we're exposed to about 3 MSV, is what's referred to, amount of radiation every year, just from different aspects that they say. One full abdominal CAT scan gives you 30 MSVs of radiation for one scan. That's 10 times your yearly amount of natural radiation you may be exposed to in one single abdominal CAT scan. So if you need these things, they're absolutely necessary. Then by all means, if you have to get one, get them. But they're not something you should be doing on a regular basis or just for preemptive care, the same way that the ultrasounds are not something that we recommend either. We've done one ultrasound on Lana since she's been pregnant, basically to make sure that the child was there and everything was connected, and that was still about too much for me. We will not be doing another one before the birth. One is all I wanted to expose him to, but these are needless. These guys, last time I talked to them, they were wanting us to do basically these ultrasounds every 4 weeks. Every 4 weeks! What's going to change in 4 weeks? He's already fully formed. Everything's fully developed already in our first ultrasound that we did at 20 weeks. Why in the world do we need to do one every month thereof until he's born? It's ridiculous. It's just more about money, bringing in more profits. The same thing with the CAT scans, the same thing with all of it. And you know more about it than I do. Dad, anything you want to add to that?
Well, yeah. I know a few years ago I had a real bad back issue back in 2008. My first back surgery was in 1988, and I had an L4, L5 decompressive laminectomy. And that was primarily because of my athletic years, and I just lifted a lot of really heavy weight. And I just made a lot of mistakes in the gym, and it caused me some serious issues with my back later on when I was in my 30s. And then in 2008, I had to have two additional surgical protocols. They were called, they were injection surgeries. And I remember one of the guys wanted an MRI, and I said, okay. And so I went over to Winter Haven MRI, which is down the street from us, about 8 miles. And they wanted to inject a radioactive dye into my bloodstream and so they could get better contrast. And I just looked at them and I said, what are you guys on, like, dope? I said, you're not going to inject that junk into me. I said, well, that's got to go back through my liver again. I said, are you my kidneys and my liver, everything else going to be dealing with this junk? I said, you're not putting that mess in me. And now we're finding out there are a lot more side effects of that product than they had told me. And I refused to do it. And then they refused to do the CAT. They refused to do the MRI. And I said, good, I'll refuse to be here too. And I walked out of the room. See, remember, you have rights. You know, if you're raising chickens and you pick a chicken up by their legs and you got to cut its head off, it really doesn't have any rights, okay? We've got rights. I mean, the thing we have to understand is that we're human beings. We can make our own decisions. And so we're not some kind of livestock to be slaughtered, okay? So when they tell you that you need to load up in this machine and do all of this, you can say, how about I get another opinion? Or maybe no. And see, remember this. This is so important. We don't need to say yes when they ask you to do things. You don't need to do that. And the truth be told, most people just say yes because they're so used to saying yes to medical doctors who come out with their white lab coats on, wearing their stethoscope, you know, thinking that they're God. And they're not. These people are not God, and you have to question everything. You have to say absolutely no. Let me give you another example. Here's an article today by S.D. Wells. The 7 most extreme childhood allergies coincide directly with vaccine ingredients. During the first year of life, children are injected with known carcinogens and neurotoxins like aluminum, mercury, etc. Then children develop strange food allergies, some so severe they can't even be in the room where someone takes out that food, like peanuts. Let's take a hard look at vaccines like the MMR and the HPV and see what these extreme allergies root themselves in. Now, what people don't realize is this. When you inject all of this stuff into your tissue, your body ends up creating antibodies against it. So the human response is overwhelming. It's fight or flight. And any time you inject processed emulsifiers, genetically modified bacteria, human DNA from aborted fetuses, MSG, egg protein, reduced animal hide, cartilage, gelatin, heavy metal toxins into your muscle tissue 50 times in less than 7 years, you might stop wondering what you did to your child to produce these extreme allergies. And so peanuts, vaccines are prepared in peanut oil, okay. MSG, this is salt that is so concentrated it can give babies brain damage, but they put it in vaccines. Dairy casein, or brewed in, many vaccines are brewed in casein as a form of dairy, so it goes in the vaccine with it. Artificial sweeteners, sorbitol is a synthetic artificial sweetener, hundreds of times sweeter than sugar, and it causes irritable bowel syndrome because it metabolizes very slowly. And a lot of this is put in vaccines. Gelatin, this is all of the animal parts that don't get sold as meat. This is the hooves and the tendons. Then this is going into the vaccines. Dimerosal, mercury, a neurotoxin that's comprised of 50% mercury, and it causes autism, and they know it. A CDC official has already been busted for it and come forward on it. And the egg protein. I've got a severe latex allergy, too, so I can't even take vaccines. My kids have egg allergies. And so the reality is this. If you're not careful with these things that you put into your children, you end up with a situation where you're going to get your kids really, really sick, and they're going to have all kinds of problems. Peanut oil has been used in the vaccine since the 60s, and because peanut oil does not show up in the final vaccine product, the manufacturer allowed to leave it off the package inserts, which is a complete lie. That does not mean that the peanut allergen is not found in the product. Peanut oil is just one of the growth mediums in which vaccine manufacturers grow bacteria and viruses for immunizations before they weaken them with formaldehyde, like egg embryo protein and casein and milk. This is what they used to make MMR and influenza vaccines. It also says on the flu shot insert not to get more than one jab in a lifetime. Many children have horrible reactions to formaldehyde, which is also commonly found in new clothing. You know, but you have to ask yourselves questions. I mean, why in the world are we doing this? And why are we giving these kids these horrible allergies? Why are we increasing this snagalase in these kids? Why are these kids coming down with autism at record rates? And why is any of this okay? I mean, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, it says that, you know, with much knowledge comes much wisdom, but with much wisdom and much knowledge comes much sorrow. And see, you have to understand something. If you don't want to have to deal with the sorrow from the wisdom and the knowledge, see, now here's the wisdom and the knowledge sorrow. I listen to Ted Brewer talk about this. I listen to all these other health people talk about this. I gave my child a shot. Now my child has autism, and my child's going to basically be like this the rest of his life or her life, and I've got to deal with it. Now, I'm in much sorrow because of the wisdom that I was given and the knowledge that I was given, but I didn't apply it. If you don't apply the knowledge and the wisdom that you're being given, what ends up happening is you're going to be sorrowful from it because you knew you're going to be stuck in the what ifs, could ifs, would ifs, all of these. What if I hadn't done that? I could have done something else. I should have done something else. But you're not going to be able to do that anymore because your child already has autism. And then luckily, with Bradstreet and Gonzalez, they were doing the work with GCMAF, which is basically reactivating the macrophages, and they were getting 85% response with kids that had autism. But remember, the globalists want your children to have autism because they don't reproduce that way. I'm going to repeat that. The globalists that want population reduction on the planet, that are eugenicists, they're the Nazis, they're the folks that are the Darwinians and all these weirdos, they want a reduction of the population of the planet. They get excited when people die. They get excited when they hear abortion numbers because they want people to be reduced. Sadly, they don't care if it's your child or anybody's child. They don't care. A lot of them don't even have kids themselves because they want to basically, you know, be a reduction. What was that one prince guy over in England that he wants to come back if he gets reincarnated, if that's his belief, Austin, and he wants to come back as a virus and wipe out most of the population as far as humans on the planet. I mean a bunch of sickos. And see, and they give your children this stuff, and it's okay with them. It's not okay, guys. And I'm going to ask you something real quick. I'm not asking you and telling you what to do. I'm just going to ask you to do something else. Do your research on vaccines Don't believe what I'm telling you. Don't believe me. Do your own research. Read Dr. Mendelsohn's book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Read his book also. It's called How to Have a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. These are books from the 80s. They're 30, 40 years old. They were written by a pediatrician who's one of the top in his field who suddenly died in his early 60s from unknown causes. I mean, this guy was doing all the talk show networks back in the 80s, in the 60s, I mean the 70s and 80s. Guy was brilliant. Confessions of a Medical Heretic. You can get it on Amazon for a penny. And then the other one would be How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. In fact, you can pull up a whole article on Health Masters. We actually printed one of his articles on Health Masters and all the different immunizations that he warned people against giving his kids, and he was a pediatrician. So you can print all that up. So get all of this information and read it and internalize it. And don't let your in-laws or whatever, some weirdo neighbor who tells you what to do or gives you advice that you can't help because he won't shut his mouth, she won't shut her mouth. Don't listen to that nonsense and realize this is your child. This is your life with your child. You've got to make that decision. Do you remember, Austin, when you were going to go into the military as an officer into the Marine Corps and they told you they were going to give you immunizations? And I told you, I said, well, Austin, I prevented that from happening to you, but you're 18, you can do whatever you want to do now. But then they even told you that they would give you an exemption. Remember that? That if, yep, as an officer in the military, in the Marine Corps, they would exempt you from the vaccine schedule, exempt you as an officer. Now, guys, that's telling me the military knows a lot of stuff that they're not telling us.
Yeah.
What's your next story?
Very valid point. One thing, I talked about this article earlier now. Italy is basically in a state of panic right now. It's gearing up for a tidal wave for as many as 400,000 immigrants in the coming weeks. Apparently, what's happened now, up until a few days ago, the Italian peninsula was basically a transit channel for tens of thousands of migrants every day en route to the countries of Northern Europe. Yet now these same migrants are finding themselves stranded in Italy because of the closed borders to the north. Overnight, Italy has become from being a passageway to a dead end. The Italian Minister of the Interior, Angelo Alfano, lashed out at those proposing that Italy follow suit and shut down their borders, okay, warning them that the economic damage to Italy would be enormous and that we cannot put barbed wire up in the Mediterranean Sea, suggesting there would be no way to stem the tide of immigrants. As a country of first arrival, Italy has more to lose from the breakdown of the closed borders than any other European nation, perhaps with the exception of Greece. In 2015, more than 150,000 migrants reached Italian shores, but the vast majority continued north, with many heading to France, Germany, and Scandinavia. Now, with basically the closed borders, that is all but a dead letter. I love this. He says that the Alps have once become, again, an insurmountable barrier. And in this dramatic panorama, the bulk of migrants are expected to come through the Balkan route, and according to experts, some 400,000 migrants are on their way right now and will be arriving in the coming weeks. And the Italian ministry goes, what else can we do, he said, throw them into the sea? So,
well,
I don't know, I feel sorry for Italy. They got a whole thing coming right now.
Well, I can tell you what they can do. They can close the Balkan routes. They can send the Italian military like Germany did. And I'm telling you guys, I was there. I went over there. One of the primary reasons I went over to Europe was to see what was going on. And that border from Czechoslovakia into Germany is closed. From Prague, when that major interstate autobahn is closed. We were stopped by military personnel. My car was. They looked inside. They saw we only had white people in there. They waved us on, and they did not want to talk. They were not there to chit chat. And Italy can do the same thing. They can close the route to the Balkans. If they're coming in on freighter transports and they're porting in the country of Italy, they can deny them port. They can say, no, we're not going to let you guys do this. No, turn around and take these people back to where they came from so they can let them stay in the Balkan states. Italy's being stupid. And again, this is 100% Angela Merkel's fault, the great destroyer of Europe, and Soros who's funding all of this. Angela Merkel is the one who precipitated all of this. And I'm sure she's probably got a big fat bank account somewhere from George Soros for allowing this to start with. Because she knew once this 10 million were in transit, Austin, and she shut the borders of Germany, they were going to be diffused into all the other parts of Europe. And that's exactly what's happening. And now Italy's already broke. I mean, they're busted. They're done. They're like Greece. And now how in the world are they going to deal with another 400,000? And once the 400,000 find out that Italy will take them, that means the rest of the 8 million will run to Italy. This is the same thing we saw in Germany until Italy decides to shut its borders and say no to the Balkan states. We're closing the borders. You're not coming across. And police it, put up barbed wire, do whatever they have to do, just like Hungary did. They barbed wired that whole section where they're coming out of the Balkans to stop them from going to Hungary. Hungary's president is the only one who had any sense out of all of this stuff, as far as I'm concerned. He said, no, you're not going to destroy my country. And sadly, Austin, Angela Merkel raises an East German, raises a communist, is doing her darndest to destroy everything over there.
Couldn't they just send the Italian military out as far as the boat patrols and just prevent any boats from docking that are basically carrying immigrants? I mean, these boats are obviously carrying a large amount of people.
Yes, they could have in the Mediterranean there, they could have the Italian ships all searched first for immigrants before they allow them to port. And if they had immigrants on them, they could just say, no, you're not going to do this. Or they could actually force them to take a tender, put the immigrants on the tender, go back out 20 miles in the Mediterranean, wait for the ship to come back out. There are all kinds of things they could do, son. They don't have to let them off. But see, remember, they're coming through the Balkans, which means they're taking a land route into Italy. Remember, Italy, the peninsula of Italy, ties all the way over by Croatia. That's how they're coming through. They're coming in that way because Germany apparently now has closed their borders. I'll let you guys know that, too. If I get a chance to go back over there and do another report on this, I'll report to you guys what's going to go happen over there and what's happening again. And here's another story. Shock poll. Doesn't surprise me. Cruz plummets with white evangelicals. Okay. Trails Trump now by 17 points. Breitbart. A new weekly tracking poll from NBC News, which I don't trust them either, but I do like Breitbart, finds Donald Trump is opening a big lead over Senator Ted Cruz among evangelical voters nationwide. The poll conducted by the NBC News and Survey Monkey shows a 14-point shift in favor of Trump over the past week, according to the survey. Trump has 37% of support of evangelicals, while Texas Senator Cruz has 20%. Last week, Trump led Cruz by just 3 points in this tracking poll. Dr. Ben Carson is third among the evangelicals with 11%, while Senator Marco Rubio, another complete globalist, by the way, is fourth with 10%. Both candidates saw slight upticks in their support among evangelicals over the past week. The craziest thing, guys, evangelicals are going to put these people in or put them out, and I really believe if we can get a big enough landslide victory that all the die-bold election fraud in the world isn't going to give this election to Hillary Clinton. And I'm not saying Donald Trump's the savior. I mean, you know, they all thought, you know, Adolf Hitler would be the savior in Germany, and he wasn't. But what I am saying is this. As far as I know, he's the only person out there telling the truth. And the fact that he told Fox, we're going to have 20, 30 million listeners for that show, to pound salt. I love this guy. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, that says a lot on there. But, yeah, the next one, this is interesting now. Massachusetts has now stated new policies and statutes on obtaining a concealed carry permit, you know, the standard permit you apply for in Florida and mostly every other state, where you can legally carry a handgun concealed on your person. They're now requiring that you have to fill out an essay exam stating why you need to carry a firearm and also to take a one-day $1,100 training seminar. This is nutty. On top of basically applying for the permit with the fingerprints, the background check, all that, you must also submit documentation as a letter of recommendation or a previous gun license or military or law enforcement ID and take a firearms training course that's $1,100 alongside of that filling out an essay on why you should be able to basically carry a handgun. This is just getting more and more bizarre as it goes along as far as the Second Amendment just being completely broken down. Even what gun rights supporters say, that this essay completely infringes on their Second Amendment right. It's absurd that people should have to write an essay in this town to explain why they should be able to exercise their constitutional rights. They already have extremely strict gun laws in Massachusetts already. This is way over the top. Critics are also complaining this $1,100 training course approved by the city is entirely too costly and is intended to discourage residents and also bring in much more additional income that should not be charged. Let me tell you guys something. there's a ton of good guys out there. There's, you know, Pat McNamara. You know, there's multiple trainers. Most of them are retired operators, retired SEALs, Rangers. These guys, for a two-day fighting rifle class, usually charge $400 to $550, roughly. I took one with James Yeager 2 years ago, which was fighting rifle, and that's about what it was for a two-day class. We expelled about 1,500 rounds of rifle ammunition in 2 days. It was a pretty intense class, but that was a two-day class with extreme training for $500. This $1,100 class right here is nothing more than usury. They're intentionally adding this on there to prevent people from being able to afford a concealed weapon permit, and then on top of that, they're making you fill out an essay on why you should be able to carry a firearm and why you want to carry a firearm. Here's what I tell you when a lot of people, when they bring this stuff up. Whenever we do our tax stamps with ATF, as far as Class 3 weapons, there's a little block on there that says, what is the lawful purpose of this machine gun, silencer, whatever that is. The only thing I ever put on there, and that I've ever put on there to this date, and it's always approved, is three words. Any lawful purpose. They say, what do you want this machine gun for? Any lawful purpose. I say no more. I need to say no more. It's my constitutional right. I want it for a lawful purpose. Leave me alone. I don't have to explain myself, nor am I going to write an essay to you or take $1,100 class. Granted, I don't think it's a bad idea that people that want to carry concealed weapons get adequate training so they're proficient with their handguns and they don't shoot people. But there's way, way, way cheaper options that are $100, $200 for a 3 or 4 hour concealed carry class, actual real concealed carry class, you know, that teaches you how to operate your weapon, drawing it in public, shooting, watching your backdrop, that are much more feasible than this. This simply right here is another tax, another restriction on allowing Massachusetts residents from basically illegally carrying a firearm, and it's nauseating to me.
Awesome. When we took that advanced tactical training class, me and you, a couple of months ago down there in Okeechobee, it was only, what, $175 for the day, wasn't it, for each of us?
Yeah, it was like one. Yeah, yeah, it was like, actually, it was like $135 for both of us.
I mean, that was a full day of fighting and tactical training with pistols and rifles. And I mean, I took it. I mean, we're crawling under cars, we're breaching buildings, we're going through rooms, and we're using live ammo. Okay, this is not some bobo class where we're shooting blanks. We're shooting live 45, live 9mm, live 223, live 12 gauge shotgun. I mean, this was shotgun, rifles, and handguns for like $135 for the day. So yeah. You're right about that. But I will say one thing though. I will say this: if I was going to write an essay, I would make it two words. They said, why do you want to do this? My response would be Second Amendment. That's all I would say.
Yeah.
That's my entire essay. But I would also say this. I think you're right. A lot of the people that I know that we've tried to get to take tactical training classes with us, they refuse to go. They refuse to do it. And every time you give them a gun, loaded or unloaded, all they do is muzzle sweep you, which means they point the gun at you like they're an idiot. I mean, you really need to learn how to handle a gun without basically shooting people by accident. And you need to learn how to train, not under duress, but when you're in an environment that you can be trained by top people that were in the military like we've done. Now, the crazy thing about this is the other day I shot about 200 rounds of my 45 through my Kimber, and I do that two or three times a year just to stay proficient. And, you know, at 40, 50 feet, I'm with my Kimber, I unloaded three magazines into a headshot, at, you know, six rounds, of 18 rounds, into a headshot on this target from 50 feet away. I missed two rounds. They were slightly low by the jawline. But I mean, that's me shooting at 60 years of age. See, you've got to know how to chamber that weapon. You've got to know how to unjam that weapon. And you've got to train with that weapon because it has to be instinctual. You can't think about it when you're in the middle of a mess. You have to know how to discharge your magazines and put new magazines in. And you got to reload. You can't be thinking about learning how to do that in a firefight. Not a healthy thing. Let me give you the next article. France declares permanent martial police law state. Kurt Nimmo. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls declared on the sidelines of the Davos Globalist last week convention his country's state of emergency. In other words, the imposition of a permanent police state will last until the total and global war against the Islamic State is completed. Wow. Additionally, French President François Hollande has told senior figures that an extension of the measures is probable in Africa, in the Middle East, in Asia, we must eliminate. It is a total and global war that we face with terrorism. This is complete crap, by the way. We will have to live for decades, for many years, with this menace or this threat, and that's why it's a war. There are many generations that will have to live with this, and the crisis will have to be managed in North Africa and the Middle East. This is complete and total crap. You bomb these countries into oblivion. You bomb them until everybody's so pissed off they want to come over here and kill you. Then you put them on an airplane and you fly them in and you let them go through customs without passports, or you let them take trains into Europe. This is complete and total globalist George Soros Rothschild garbage. That's all this is. They want a globalist one world government. That's all they care about. They want everybody to be in subject to them. They want us as serfs. They want us dumbed down. They want us stupid. They want us on fluoride. They want us on immunizations. They want us on GMOs. They want us on cell phones. They want us on trackers. They want to chip everybody. This is their goal. And they start this crap with this doggone war against terrorism because we have no defined enemy, no defined borders, because it gives them carte blanche reach across the entire world to do whatever they want to do and kill as many people as they want to kill to bring in their one world police state. And I'm sick of it, Austin.
No, you're spot on with that. That's exactly that. That is full blown propaganda right there, telling people that they're going to have to deal with this for tens of years now, decades, that we're going to have to deal with this war on terror. Like you said, we bomb their countries, then we allow them to come to this country with basically no vetting. They've already said that now. There's no restrictions. There's no checking. There's no background checks. They literally let them through the border. They could have pipe bombs in their backpack and nobody would even know it. And then all of a sudden, these guys basically collude together and build this super substantially effective terrorist raid attack, which I'm still not 100% convinced that the government didn't have hand in it in supplying these guys weapons, like they've been caught doing numerous times before in the past, and allowing this to happen. So then they can come in and say, well, now we need a perpetual police state, martial law until this is over. We have to fight terrorism. It's complete and total, I mean, it's completely out of hand. What's crazy, too, about that article is immediately after he declared a state of emergency, militarized SWAT cops filled the streets, conducted over 2,500 raids and arrested hundreds of people. This allowed them to basically search all buildings and private residences with no search warrants, preemptive arrest without any type of charges, without any probable cause of any individual deemed by the French authorities to be a suspect or any type of danger. That basically meant if you disagreed with the French government, they came and arrested your butt. That's it. That's exactly what that means. You spit on the ground, we don't like the way you spit, we're arresting you. Oh, you have an AR in your house? You're probably going to be a danger. You could be a terrorist one day. But wait, I'm French. I'm not going to be a terrorist. I love my people. Doesn't matter. We're going to arrest you. You can't do that because we said so. I mean, the videos online, when you saw them coming in with the armored personnel carriers and the troops down the street, I mean, it was like, whoa. I mean, it looked like they had a full-blown war zone in France. And granted, the day after the Paris attack, everybody was shaken up, regardless if it was a false flag or not. It was a very coordinated attack. This is months ago now. This is already 3 months past. They've already done 2,500 search warrants and raids on people, arrested hundreds of people. Have they not figured out how to fix the issue yet? Are they still allowing people to come into the country? Yeah, they don't care, because this whole thing was pre-planned and staged. The exact same thing we did after 9/11, after the supposed planes hit the Twin Towers, we signed the Patriot Act, and the exact same thing happened. Police militarization, we have the asset forfeiture now, we have the military old vehicles, weapons, helicopters, munitions, everything now goes to the local police departments for free by the federal government grants. So your local police department with 5,000 residents in your local town gets an armored MRAP, and they get 50 caliber belt-fed machine guns if they need them, and fully automatic M16s. What do they need those for? I wonder. Maybe if they plan on doing this in the future. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, and it's all colluding together very rapidly. People got to open their eyes and realize that it's not a joke anymore.
I'm sorry, I had to walk away for a second, Austin. I got myself so riled up. I just, you know, it reminds me of that one movie, which one is it, with Kevin Costner, what he has, he got a, it was Open Range, yeah. And he gives that guy that cigar, and that guy gets all riled up, and he gets all excited. Yeah. I got all riled up. Let me read you this one. This is, Senator warns that the AUMF bill is a direct declaration of international martial law. This is from Adam Salazar. This resolution is a total rewrite of the War Powers Clause of the Constitution. Let's be clear about that. Democrat Senator Chris Murphy said on the Senate floor last week in regards to the SJ Resolution 29, a bill purporting to give the U.S. President the power to declare war on ISIS. It is essentially a declaration of international martial law, Murphy said, speaking out against the fast-track authorization for the use of military force proposed by Republican Majority Leader lowlife Mitch McConnell. Murphy explained that this resolution would permanently hand over the war-making authority to the office of the president, a sweeping transfer of military power to the president that would allow him or her to send U.S. troops almost anywhere in the world for any reason with absolutely no limitations. Senator Murphy described, adding that Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2 of the Constitution vests the Congress the responsibility to declare war. That's why they did this, because they didn't want some stinking tyrant getting up there and declaring law war and being a president, not a president, but a dictator and a king. While the ink is still wet on this resolution, it's safe to say this resolution is the wrong way to authorize war against ISIS, Murphy said. The language of this resolution is dangerous and it is unprecedented. I couldn't have said that any better myself, Austin. That's an excellent article.
You and I both know, along with our listeners, that this has absolutely nothing to do with ISIS. We built, funded, made ISIS who they are. This is all about another loophole around the Constitution with trying to bring in a backdoor agenda with martial law, police on the street, police state essentially is what they're doing, and giving the president the autonomy to do whatever he wants to do, literally whenever he wants to do it. That's all this is. Anybody that can't see that really needs to reread it and understand what they're reading. This isn't little, you know, fairy tale joke here. This is a very, very, very serious bill they're trying to get to go through, which is exactly what you said. Essentially makes the president king, dictator, as I always jokingly refer to as King Obama. This essentially does that. Allows him to start wars, occupy countries, invade other countries with no congressional approval at all. He just says, nope. It's an emergency. We need to go invade this country. Oh, it's an emergency. We need to send the Marines into California and Florida because they're becoming unruly. That's exactly what this does, and there's no restrictions on it whatsoever. I really hope it doesn't go through all the way. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. Is it getting any traction, or are most people pushing it back?
You know, Austin, if they're this brain dead and this pedophiled out and this weird, that they don't push this one back, I feel sorry for the country, because this is going to be one of those deals. Hey, guys, I got the music going. I want you to know something. We love you. I really enjoy starting the show off with scripture today. I'll try to do that more often, try to give you guys some positive stuff, some positive encouragement. We appreciate you. Thanks for supporting HealthMasters.com. That's how the show's brought to you. HealthMasters.com. Sign up for a free newsletter, free emails. And thank you for supporting us. Thank you for buying your vitamins from us. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being our friends. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
You guys have a blessed night.